And now let's turn to a new series of conversations we're holding on the show. It's a new segment we're calling Points of View. 2019 was supposed to be a big year for criminal justice reform. House Speaker Rusty Bowers had formed the Sentencing and Recidivism Reform Committee, and lawmakers were preparing to offer a variety of ideas to improve the system. But scandal led to the demise of the Reform Committee, and many proposed bills died without a hearing in committees led by lawmakers who were not sympathetic to the effort. In short, politics got in the way of reforms that largely had bipartisan support. But that hasn't stopped the effort. Now, Republican Representative Walter Blackmun has set an ambitious criminal justice agenda with support from the other side of the aisle. His proposals include legislation to create a model for state and local law enforcement agencies to report data and a pre-arrest diversion program. Blackmun is currently leading an ad hoc committee on earned release credits for prisoners, and Democratic Representative Diego Rodriguez has taken the lead on the committee for his party. They've become bipartisan brothers of sorts as they charge forward to make something, anything happen next session on this. And they sat down with me to talk more about what they hope to accomplish.
Yes, it is a big agenda, and I do it because it's time. And when we're talking about the programs that I'm running, it's a comprehensive program, starting from the moment the person is involved with the criminal justice system, when they get into the correctional systems, if that's where they're at. And then also, well, we're talking about post-release, so it's just not one bill for one issue that we have. Mm-hmm. It's a consolidative or holistic view and take on the whole criminal justice system here in Arizona.
Let's get into a few of the details here. One of the things I think is really interesting that you've talked about doing is increasing oversight, having an independent committee that would oversee the actions of the Department of Corrections. Obviously, we've seen quite a year in terms of the DOC and some of the things that have come out in terms of the locks not working. There's obviously the ongoing story about the health care that prisoners receive, all of this criticism aimed at the department. What would this oversight look like in your mind?
Well, first of all, we already have the Arizona Commission on Criminal Justice Reform, and that's basically prosecutors and folks that already work in the system. And I'm not taking from that, but we need an outside set of eyes, if you will, to be able to look into the system and have the same availability of resources that the Arizona Criminal Justice Commission has and be able to report on an independent basis. That's what we don't have, and that's one of the main things that I wanted to get pushed into the criminal justice system. Mm-hmm. It's important to do that because if we're looking at ourselves, we're not going to always paint the best picture. But if somebody else is looking at us, we're going to make sure that we're doing it right, number one, and that those folks that are our constituents, and I mean holistically across the state, are able to hold us accountable as lawmakers, and also those folks that run the agencies that we're looking at, in this case, Department of Corrections.
Representative Rodriguez, what are some of your priorities? Are you on board with those, first of all, and would you like to do more?
The specifics of how we get there, you know, that's obviously where the rubber's going to meet the road. What I would like to see is an increase in transparency and accountability within our criminal justice system. We have huge problems with that. Our prison system is in crisis. It's in crisis for many of the reasons that you just mentioned earlier. We have healthcare, massive issues surrounding healthcare. We have officer safety. We have inmate safety. We have basic infrastructure problems within our prisons. We have transparency problems in dealing with the staff and in particular the leadership of DOC. But none of this is impossible. We can solve it all. But we have a constant flow of inmates. We have a system that is already overburdened going into that system. And then we have little or no support for those folks when they transition out. So that is a perfect storm of circumstances where now we are in the middle of a crisis, and we're going to continue to be in this crisis until we address each of those three components.
Yeah. I want to talk, before we get into the nitty-gritty here a little more, about sort of why each of you want to do this. Like, why are you championing this issue of all of the issues? And I know you've spoken, Representative Blackmun, about this being kind of personal to you, about having a loved one who is incarcerated. Is that right?
Yeah, and that's not the only reason why I'm doing this. But you are correct. I do have a stepbrother who's been in the system ever since I can remember, probably when I was about 10 years old. is my first memory of him being in the correctional system. And every time that he would get out, I could see, you know, that he was trying to correct himself or to move forward. And there were just roadblocks there that stopped him from moving forward. Mm-hmm. And it's some of the same issues here. So when I got here, got into the House of Representatives, and I was fortunate to serve on the same committee as my esteemed colleague here, I would actually listen to what he was saying. And then that moved from, you know, private conversations, and he kind of heard what I wanted to do. And we wanted to move this in the same direction. And I wanted to demonstrate a bipartisan direction that we need to go as a state.
Mm-hmm. Representative Rodriguez, why is this something you care about?
I started off as a prosecutor in Pima County. And so, you know, I worked my way up through little dog bite cases, up through first degree homicide prosecutions. And as I continued to move through my career, and then I went into private practice and then went into criminal defense, you know, the thing that inspired me to become an attorney was the pursuit of just perfecting our system, of trying to make sure that everyone, in all of our citizens, receive due process and can receive justice. But then once you get out in the real world and you see actually how it's working, as opposed to the execution versus the theory, you start to see a lot of problems. You start to see how families are affected. The DOC budget right now is $1.1 billion. That is a massive number. And yet we still have these problems. So it came down to a confluence of the values that Representative Blackmun and I share. And then also and he and I have had this discussion before, we're here for a reason. And this is something that we know there's a problem, and we have an obligation to try to do something about it.
So that leads me to my next question, which is about funding, right?
Yeah.
The budget for the DOC is already massive, right? Will this take more money, and where will that money come from?
Well, it's going to take more money, and public safety requires, there's a price tag for that. So we have to come to a point in the road. Are we willing to just throw money down a drain, $1.1 billion? Are we willing to make a smart investment that will carry on? And the smart investment means we're going to have to put more money in there. Right now, we're presently sweeping up to about $6 million a year from DOC, from programs within the correctional system that they create their own revenue and we take as a state. Mm-hmm. That's the first place we can look. I have thought about and talked to some folks about letting DOC keep that money, but mandating it, okay? Not into their general fund, but mandating it into the programs that we want to establish, like the mental health programs and the drug treatment programs and the educational programs where there's a backlog. Mm-hmm. So we can start there. Where do we get the rest of the money? When we do an audit, which I have recommended, we can see where their money is going. And it's not to beat them up. However, I think an outside audit will help them and help us get a better picture of where this $1.1 billion is going. And we got situations like the locks. It's either a mismanagement of money or a mismanagement of resources. We can grab a lot of that money that's already being sent in there and put it in the right places.
You know, in the short term, there's going to have to be some level of investment just to get things off the ground. Because during these hearings, we've heard that even if DOC wanted to do these things, some of the assist in terms of counseling, drug counseling, various types of therapy, education, it's not there. Mm. There is no there. But there's also a long-term savings, a significant long-term savings that can come from realizing that we don't need such a high percentage of nonviolent offenders being incarcerated. And in my own personal experience in my practice, I can tell you I have many people who have multiple felony convictions for drug possession, and I don't even need to read the file half the time. I can just fill in the blanks from knowing what the profile is. Mm-hmm. It's many times broken families, it's childhood trauma, it's the lack of adequate resources that they've never been given access to. It's being part of the foster care system. That's another common denominator. And absent any tools, then they fall back. They self-medicate. Mental health problems are another issue. Physical, sexual abuse, domestic violence. These are all commonalities that are not being addressed once they enter into the system. So basically, they're just being warehoused for several years, and then they come out with suffering from the same addiction. Our intent is to just talk about what is going on in an open and honest manner. And so to the extent that DOC has a job, it's been given a task. You have to house these people, and to the extent you can, you have to help them. They don't have any ability to make policy. They don't have any ability to affect the plea offers or the types of prosecutions that are being handed out and conducted by our county attorney's offices. Yeah. There is a disconnect between our current system that allows for county attorneys to basically dictate what sentence is going to take place. It's out of whack. Judges do not have enough of an input into the plea system or the sentencing system. 62% of DOC's population comes from Maricopa County, so they're an easy example. 62%, 6 out of every 10 inmates in our DOC system comes from Maricopa County. That tells you the kind of influence and power that the elected Maricopa County attorney has in determining the influx of prisoners into that system. And there's a disconnect there, because county attorneys are not motivated by the same things that the director of DOC is motivated by.
So Maricopa County just got a new county attorney. Is this something you're hopeful for, especially given the former county attorney, Bill Montgomery, was a well-known critic of a lot of these reforms?
I spoke with her on several occasions and talked to her about this very subject, and she is open to conversation, to looking at the criminal justice system with us. I just have a lot of confidence that this change is sort of like a tidal wave.
Okay, so let's talk about the politics then in the last few minutes here. We're sitting here, you're a Republican, a Democrat, you both agree that criminal justice reform needs to happen, you largely agree on how it needs to happen, but efforts like this have failed in the past at the legislature. Why is this something that has not gotten anywhere so far?
I believe it has not happened because the stakeholders who all believe in this goal have not had enough access or enough champions on both sides of the aisle to take the issue all the way to the end. There have been some here and there, but I think we're at a very unique position now in terms of the split of the House. It's 31-29, so it's very close anyway.
Yeah.
But now criminal justice reform and the things that we've been talking about and the values that we talk about when we talk about criminal justice reform are not specific to either party. And I think people are finally starting to come around to see that this isn't a liberal issue. It isn't a conservative issue. It is a human issue. This is just a decency issue on many levels. And so I think it will change now, because in this particular issue, although we're in a political arena, you can talk about this in terms that have nothing to do with politics, but have everything to do with what you think is important, mm-hmm. The values you want to see put forward in your state.
But there have been some key players, and the governor vetoed the only piece of criminal justice reform that got to his desk last session, right?
Yeah.
So, I mean, what is it that realistically you think you can get through, Representative Blackmun, it being in the majority?
I have to look at it realistically, but if we look at this on a national level, all the way to the White House, the Republicans have moved forward on this issue of criminal justice reform with their First Step Act. That's a Republican-driven, leadership-approved, sponsored bill that is a national movement. That started by the Republicans. If we look at where we're at compared to the rest of the country, is it just us as a state that doesn't want to move forward, or is it the party? The party wants to move forward on this. I've been to several conferences around the nation about this very issue. The Republican base feels that we can move forward in, because it's the right thing to do. What are we doing as a state? And that's where it comes down to individuals. I've always believed, since I got into this, that there are a few individuals that are holding this up for whatever reasons. And I am not going to claim to know those reasons. I just see what I see.
So you think the tide is turning?
I do. And we used to say in the military, lead, follow, or get out of the way. The majority of people are saying, get out of the way and let us lead. This could easily turn into a ballot initiative where folks in our state are tired of throwing $1.1 billion into a system that needs to be fixed, and the people will say, you know what, it's time to fix it.
You raise an interesting point. I mean, structurally, it can come down to one or two people who decide, I don't want to give that bill a hearing.
Yes, it can.
Okay. But at another point, it also becomes an issue of, are you representing your own personal position or are you representing your constituents? If you don't want, even want to give something a hearing, that looks to me like you're just opposing just to oppose. Because if you really believed that you have the superior intellectual argument and the superior moral argument to back up your position, then you wouldn't be afraid of engaging us in a hearing. You wouldn't be afraid of getting into the ring and let's have it out. Let's give it a hearing and let's let the people hear what we have to say. You need to have an alternative and you need to have a principled argument in support of your refusal to even give it a hearing.
So is this something you think will happen this session?
I think we'll get something through this
session.
Yeah,
I think we'll get something through. It's gonna take years, but we'll be able to get bits and pieces through. Folks are going to have to look within themselves and ask themselves, you know, what is the right thing to do? We want to make sure we do it safely. And I think we'll get something through. What that is, I don't know. But we'll get something through.
I truly believe this. Our prison system's in a crisis. Incrementalism is rarely the correct response when you're in a crisis. You need to do some triage and hopefully stop the bleeding. At least stop the bleeding, right? So I'm hoping we can at least do that.
Yeah. Representative Diego Rodriguez and Representative Walter Blackman, thank you both for coming in.
Thanks.